Well, as we continue talking about Giants baseball, I had the pleasure of sitting down with Bob Lurie. And no, we're not related. As I tell people, we're 3 billion apart. That's the best way I could explain it. But he saved the Giants in 1975. The Giants were going to be sold to a group in Toronto. And he stepped up and put up the money, and he got a partner to do it with him, and he saved the Giants. Otherwise, there would be no show today. There'd be no AT&T Park. There'd be no nothing. They were gone, and they were going to go to Toronto, and they were pretty much out the door. So I sat down with him, and I wanted to get his story a little bit of how he saved the Giants. So I thought on a holiday, I thought it would be a good time to hear from Bob Lurie. And, Bob, it's great to have you with us. And how did you get involved with baseball?
Growing up, grew up down the peninsula from San Francisco and always loved sports and enjoyed grammar school, high school, whatever, to play sports as much as I could. And certainly baseball was a favorite. Spent, I don't know how many times at Seals Stadium. Used to go there and, root for the Seals and really enjoyed it. Moving along, when the Giants came to San Francisco, 1958, that was wonderful. I mean, that was, have a major league team here. I got to know Horace Stoneham and Chub Feeney, and after a year or two, I think it was 1960, they asked if I would go on the board of the National Exhibition Company. And I was thrilled now to be part of a major league team, to be on the board and to be involved a little bit and to know what really goes on at a major league level. So that was a fabulous experience. We did have meetings. Horace wasn't really big on meetings, but they occurred on occasion. Going ahead to 1975 is when Horace was getting into some very serious financial problems and basically was going bankrupt and had to sell. It was the worst thing that could ever happen to him. His father before him owned the Giants, and he enjoyed most of his life being involved with the Giants. And now to have this happen was really, really difficult for him. Went to a board meeting in San Francisco where it was decided that an offer was received from Toronto to move the ball club. I immediately resigned, told Horace, I'm going to leave the meeting and resign because maybe we can take a look and see if there's a way to keep the Giants in San Francisco. So that was the beginning of it.
All right. Boy, what a story. That covered quite a bit. Let's go back just a little bit. I always like to get the images of Seals Stadium and some of the players that you enjoyed and what Seals Stadium was like in those days. I mean, left field duel was part of it. I think so many Mel Ott, perhaps, over in Oakland. But it really was quite a time for PCL baseball.
Well, it was. And there was great rivalry with Oakland, mentioning the Oakland Oaks. I was a big fan. I happen to know left field duel very well. He and I belonged to the same golf club. I got to know Joe DiMaggio, and obviously he was my hero. And for many years, because of Joe, I rooted for the Yankees. It didn't last all my life, though. So, anyhow, Seals Stadium was a great, friendly, small ballpark. I think it held maybe 20,000, something like that. But it was very intimate. You really got close to the field, and it was just really enjoyable.
Right. Great story. What was the anticipation like of the Giants coming to San Francisco when all that was coming about? Of course, there was rumored for a little bit, and O'Malley was going to Los Angeles. He needed someone in San Francisco. But what was it like on the San Francisco side?
Well, going a little bit in history, because I was involved with it, and I met a man by the name of Matty Fox, who was from Wisconsin, was in the movie business, and he was quite an entrepreneur. He had a lot of different great ideas. And the bottom line with his involvement with the Giants, he paid the Giants $750,000 to go to San Francisco, knowing that the Dodgers had to leave Brooklyn and were going to go to L.A. So I always say he was an instrumental part in bringing the Giants west, because the Giants had planned to go to Minneapolis, had designed the stadium. They had their minor league club there. They designed, as I recall, a very creative stadium that was going to have a shopping center underneath, open 24 hours a day, 12 months a year. It was quite a design. And then when this happened, the Giants coming to San Francisco, which was also fabulous.
The Giants come to San Francisco, and of course, George Christopher is the mayor. And I met Francis McCarty because he was a judge when I was a lawyer when I first came to California. But they were instrumental, along with Mr. Fox that you described, to bring the club here.
Yeah, the mayor, George Christopher, certainly was instrumental in him going to New York and conversations and whatever. And I always had a very good relationship with George until I made some comments about Candlestick might not be the finest place in the world. And he really got upset over the comments. As you might recall, we even looked at doming Candlestick. Was that ever possible? Well, it really wasn't. It was the expense of what would have to happen. So George and I were not too friendly at the end. I was sorry about it. I tried to tell him why and whatever. But so 76 comes, and we were able to get the Giants. Now, and it all happened within 5 hours.
Amazing.
The mayor, George Moscone, got phone calls from people in South Carolina, George Shedd, who toured around, and he was made all these promises which were legitimate. And then the fellow from Minneapolis, Bob Short, came, talked to the mayor. George called me and said, you know, what he wants to do it. So I had two trips to Minneapolis because Short fell down in the ice in Minneapolis and was in the hospital. And I made two trips there. And basically, he kind of indicated, I've had all the experience in baseball because he was involved with the Rangers, and I would love to do this deal with your money and my knowledge. Well, we got along fairly well until he brought that up, and we had a big discussion about managers as we were progressing. He wanted Alvin Dark, and I wanted Bill Rigney. So we had that discussion, and I kind of finally won out with that. Baseball wasn't too happy with Bob Short. They didn't like that. They said that I would have to have controlling interest. So that was fine with me. But in the end, it just didn't work out, and Bob Short had to disappear. So now, when I came back from Minneapolis, Chubb Feeney, who was president of the National League, said, the owners want to talk to you, and they'd like to talk to you at noon tomorrow on a conference call. I said, okay. So we get on the conference call, and I ask for 48 hours to review this. In their great judgment, because most of them did not like Candlestick and were very happy to have the club go to Toronto. And they gave me a deadline of 5 o'clock, 5 hours later. Walter O'Malley was certainly on my side and made quite a speech because he didn't want to lose the rivalry. So during that time, a man by the name of Bud Herseth called the mayor's office and said, I hear you got a little problem about baseball. Well, I like baseball, and I've got money in the bank. And so we had many conversations that afternoon with him. His attorney was out of town, but he had somebody else, and it was shown that he did have money in the bank because the price at that time was $8 million for the club, and that he had the wherewithal to do that. So at 5 o'clock, I went back on the phone with all the owners, and I remember Buzzy Vavese, who was quite a guy, said, oh, I know the guy in, the guy in Arizona, and he vouched for Herseth, so he said he's a good guy. Now, I never knew whether that was factual or not. But anyhow, at 5 o'clock, we made the deal. The owners approved, and away we went.
Wow. Wow, what a story. Amazing. I mean, really, it's almost like a baseball story going to the bottom of the ninth inning and getting it done. Bob Lurie with us. We'll take a break.